Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, King. I love that last verse, the standing covered in His righteousness, not our own, His. And to be able to stand before the throne, how did you describe it? How do we stand before the throne in the song? Faultless. Can you believe that? As many faults that we have, to stand before the throne faultless. Truly amazing what God has done for us. As Team Jesus, we're supposed to recognize that. We're supposed to appreciate it. And we are going to serve our Lord and Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, because of it. And we're going to take up our cross. We're going to stand fast together, striving together with one accord, one accord, and one mind. We talked about the mind that we're supposed to have. Paul's going to point out something truly amazing today. In the few minutes that I have left today, I will make sure that we are out on time as Mother's Day. Some of you laugh. I can tell you don't believe it. You got to have faith, right? Today we're going to be back in Philippians. It's a sermon entitled, Work Out Your Salvation. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Here we go. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Paul tells them to work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation? Is Paul talking about salvation by works? Glad to hear you say that. Because that would contradict so many scriptures. I'm just going to give you one for sake of time. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. We are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not by our works. So going back to Philippians chapter 2, it tells us to work out your own salvation. So this is definitely not telling us we're saved by works. So what is it saying? Well, the Greek here gives the understanding to continually work to bring something to fulfillment or completion. See, we are saved people, but we haven't experienced actual salvation yet. Salvation will actually happen when Christ comes back, takes us. We are saved at that point. We are saved when we are born again. But we don't actually experience the salvation aspect until the end. But there's something going on in between those two points. Salvation is working in us and through us. And we are to work it out. Salvation is not just being saved from hell, but being saved so the life of Jesus will be manifest in your body. We have a responsibility as saved believers to allow the process of salvation to take place in our lives. We do this by actively pursuing obedience, as he's commending the Philippians for doing. And we obey in the process of sanctification that we have talked about on many occasions, which Paul will go further to talk about in the next chapter. But today we want to look at this. What does it mean to be saved? Well, again, most people, if you were asked without the context of what we just spoke, most people say, well, to be saved means, well, I'm saved from my sin. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from the judgment. I'm saved from the wrath of God. And those are all true statements. But it means more than just being saved from judgment and sin. It's also embracing a new life in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. You, as a born-again believer, are a new creation in Christ. You have a new identity, a new calling, a new purpose in life, to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to embrace the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." And praise God that He has laid hold of us. But it was more than just saving us from hell, from judgment. If He lays hold of us, we should lay hold of that for which He laid hold of us. Does that make sense? I sure hope so, because I just confused myself. You see, before Jesus saves us, we live for ourselves. I don't know about you, but that was my story. It was all about me. Seeking what I wanted to do in this life. My life was my own. It was my life. No one could tell me what to do with it. And I didn't really understand what was important in life. I thought I did. So if you're like me, then that describes you as well. You know, we really didn't understand eternity and what really matters. But after Christ lays hold of us, after we are brought to the point of salvation by the Holy Spirit out in the world, convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and the judgment of God, and we humble ourselves before an almighty God and the Savior who died for us and we are born again. After Christ lays hold of us, everything changes. We begin to grow and understand life is not about us anymore. It's not about what we want. We understand that Jesus not only created us, He created all things, He created us, He purchased us with a heavy price, as we just celebrated. Scripture tells us He has a plan for us. Rich prayed the very verse I'm thinking about in our chapel service this morning. The plan that God has for us, He preordained before we were even here. We're to lay hold of that plan. That's why Christ laid hold of us, not just to save us, but He has a plan for us. And once we start to understand what Christ has done for us, we lay hold of that for which He laid hold of us. To work out through our salvation, to understand what it means, the call to sanctification, the call to discipleship, the call to serve, to accomplish what Jesus laid hold of us for. Paul has already addressed this in the first part of Philippians that we've already studied, but let me repeat it one more time for us. What did he lay hold of us for? To live as Christ. To live as Christ, Levi. It means that we are to seek the will of God the Father, each one of us, sanctification of the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sanctification is the seeking of God through the Word of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to allow that Word to renew our minds, to restore the soul, to change us from the inside out, to make us more like Christ. We seek the will of God the Father. It means we imitate the example of Christ. He is our great example, especially in the category of loving. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 kind of love, where we speak the truth to people in love. It means we proclaim the gospel. Jesus came preaching the gospel, telling people to repent and believe. So we will also share the gospel. And we talked how beautiful the feet of our are those who take the gospel of peace to those who are lost. It means we're willing to surrender all, no matter the cost. It means that Christ is our life. To live as Christ. It says individuals is what we're supposed to be doing. But then we come together as also as the church, the body of Christ, striving together. We understand that here in the Greek it's talking about, you know, a team coming together and striving for a common purpose. It's where we get the word in the English language, athletics. That's why we call ourselves Team Jesus. We're striving together for a common purpose. To do that, we're going to have consistent attendance as the church. Not attending church. Don't be religious. Don't have your little clipboard of I'm a good Christian because I do this, this. Be the church. Attend the church as the church. Exhorting one another in the faith. We are coming here to encourage one another. Use your spiritual gift inside the church. I taught a lesson on this, a sermon. Now I'm just telling you, and I'm going to challenge you one more time. Most people let sermons on the spiritual gift slide by because it's uncomfortable. It's challenging. It puts you on the spot because God gave you a gift at your salvation. And the only way you're going to discover that gift is sanctification. And you're to use that gift inside the church. And if you don't know your gift and you're not using it in the church and you're not even trying to seek it to find it, then you are falling short as a disciple. It's going to take a full effort on your part of seeking God to allow God to show you, reveal to you the gift He chose for you and to manifest that gift through you inside the church. And then striving together, we are to be faithful team players. To be faithful team players means we have the same love, one accord, one mind. Do not be terrified of what's happening in the world, the hatred that's coming from the world, maybe even persecution. And God is on our side. Embrace the suffering for Christ. Suffering will allow you to grow closer to Christ and more like Christ if you trust Him with it. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition in here. It's no longer about us, what we want. It's about esteeming others better than ourselves. Let each esteem others better than themselves. And let us take care of one another. To work out our salvation, to understand the new calling, the new identity, the new purpose God has given us as disciples, as the church, as His children. Let's go back to Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some have a hard time. If God is our loving Father, if He's Abba, Father, Papa, why should we fear and tremble before Him? Well, I don't know about you, but I remember when my mom would say, wait till your father comes home. My dad loved me, but you didn't want to cross my dad, right? You didn't want to break. We don't want to cross God, and we can still do that. Even though we're seeking Christ and we've been changed, we can still make mistakes or we can still fall short. We can still offend our Heavenly Father, and we don't want to. So we're to have this healthy fear of not wanting to disappoint our Father, not wanting to go against Him, looking to ourselves. We want to seek His will. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall short. And that's why we need grace every day. But we should still have a healthy respect for God, because God also tells us that He loves us, and so He will chastise us. And I've been through God's chastisement on several occasions. It's not fun. It's not pleasant. So we work out our own salvation along with a fear and trembling and a good, healthy respect for our Lord, for our Father. For we understand He is God and we are not. And it is Him who works in us doing this change. It's not us. It's not our good works. We weren't saved by our good works, and we're not going to complete ourselves by our own good works. It's Him working in us and through us. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will His will and to do His good pleasure. Now, what I'm about to say is going to be very hard for some. A lot of our young people I don't see here today, but I see some. For teens and young adults, we think we know what we want. And we think we know what will make us happy. I remember in my teen years, in my 20 years, I knew exactly what would make me happy, and I went after it. In the long run, it didn't make me as happy as I thought it would. And by the grace of God, Christ Jesus laid hold of me and brought me out of sin and darkness, put me up on the rock, the solid ground, which is Christ. Gave me a new identity, new purpose and meaning, showed me His will for my life, God's plan, step by step. He didn't reveal the whole thing. If He did, I might have run away screaming. But He showed me, and I learned to walk with Him and trust Him and realize His will, His plan was far better than anything I ever came up with. You can trust God. He is the truth. He is almighty. Is good. He cannot lie. And He has a plan. And His will for you and His good pleasure will be the best thing you could ever do. It's far superior to anything you could come up for yourself. Trust Him. Seek Him. To live is Christ. Striving together as a body of believers, as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Having the same love, one accord, one mind. Encouraging ourselves. Standing with one another. It's all wrapped up in the phrase that we started this very year with. Take up your cross and die to self and follow Him. To take up your cross means to live for Jesus Christ. It is your saving faith. It is your salvation given to you by Jesus, playing out in your life. It's working its way. It's working God's plan if you let it. The salvation that God has given to you, work it out. Allow it to run its course to its completion one day, which will be your glorification. But until then, let it have its work in you. Allow God to create this new creation, this new person. To your salvation, to make you, it should make you want to live for Jesus Christ. And not just live for Jesus, but to allow Him to live through you. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. If you really believe what the Bible says, we know what is most important in this life. It is not getting to do what we want. It is not becoming what we want. It's not getting to do, to live for ourselves, but to live for the cause of Christ. To live for what is eternal. What's going to matter for all eternity? Because, you know, whatever field of occupation you want to be. And for me, it was to be a Marine. to be one of the few, the proud. And I thought that would be everything. That would give me meaning and purpose, define me, it'd give me worth. But it won't matter for all eternity. I had dreams, and I'm sure you have had dreams, or some of you are young enough to maybe you still have them ahead of you. But your dreams, even if they come true, if they're not based in the will of God, they have no value. They won't matter in eternity. The only thing that matters in the end, the only thing that matters when we go home, am I a child of God, and did I help others to become children of God? Because that's the only thing stepping into eternity. Everything on this earth will go away. Only those who are children of God will step into eternity. Are you living for that? Because that's the greatest thing we can accomplish in this life. There's nothing greater. It doesn't matter if you're a success in the world's eyes. You can gain the whole world. What good has it done if you lose your soul? Have you laid hold on that which Jesus Christ has laid hold on you? Are you allowing the life of Jesus to be manifest in your body? Or is your life about you? You see, to allow salvation to have its work in you, to work out your salvation, to manifest Christ, is proof that Christ has truly laid hold of you. Many claim to believe in Jesus. Many claim to be saved. But there's no evidence of the Spirit, and there's no evidence of obedience and submission and laying hold of that which Christ laid hold of them. Salvation is real, and you can be assured of it as you see your salvation work out in you, change you, change everything about you. In time, you are a completely different person than you were before. You will discover the greatest meaning of life. And in this process, you can become more like Jesus than you ever imagined. For His life was not about Himself. His life was not about His own will. For it was Jesus who famously said to the Father, "Not my will be done, but yours be done." Let us strive to be able to say the same thing, to follow in the footsteps of our Lord and our Savior, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to look out into this world, past everything that tries to distract us, and look to the Father and say, "Your will be done, not mine." Come on up, team. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, such a powerful little phrase, to work out your own salvation. And what salvation is it's more than just being saved from hell. It's a relationship opened with our Heavenly Father. To know the God of this universe, and not only to know Him, but to walk with Him. You. To have your Spirit come into our lives. To be sealed with the Spirit. To be transformed by the Spirit. To be able to have the honor and the privilege of showing Jesus Christ in us. That when people see us, they see Jesus. When they hear us, they'll hear Jesus. Lord, that's an honor we do not deserve. But Lord, you want to clothe us in your righteousness. You want to empower us with your Spirit so we can help others find what we have found. So they too can work out their salvation. Because not only have you laid hold of us, you'll lay hold of them. And that's all that matters in the end. So Lord, I pray that we get this as a church. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's stand up and sing this last song.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him.
As sun gives way through darkest night, your Spirit still is here. And though my strength fades like the light, new mercies will appear. I rest in
God's people say, amen. Amen. Team, thank you. Give a round of applause for our little worship team. They put extra work in during the week, and when you read a verse inside of a song and you know you only got so long to read it, it's a little nerve-wracking, but they did really good tonight, or today, this morning. Now, if you were standing next to a person who laughed when I said we'd finish on time, please point them out. $11.54.
Happy birthday. Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. That's my gift to you. You're not going to get it until Father's Day. I don't know if the fathers rate it. Moms, you do. You are precious, and we do praise you and thank you for who you are and what you do. You show us aspects of God we could never see if you weren't here. And I do thank you for that. Parents, be patient with Wendy, because Wendy's used to me going over, so she might not have the craft that the children are doing done, because they always expect me to go over. But have a wonderful and blessed day. And we will see you later this week, some of you, and some of you next Sunday. Now, as Team Jesus, we're about to break on the playing field of the world. We're going to work out our salvations this week. We're going to embrace what it means to be saved. So let's go share that with people. If you have an opportunity to share the gospel, share the gospel. Share Jesus. Let's break out of here on count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.